إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا مزيدًا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. ثم أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تبارك وتعالى، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. الله تبارك وتعالى tells us in the Quran, in Surah Baqarah, he says, أم حسبتم أم تدخلوا الجنة ولما يأتكم مثل الذين خلوا من قبلكم مستهم البأساء والضراء وزلزلوا حتى يقول الرسول والذين معه متى نصر الله ألا إن نصر الله قريب. Allah informs us, or he asks us a rhetorical question which needs no answer. He says, do you think that you'll enter paradise, and when you haven't been afflicted with that which the people before you were afflicted with? You weren't given the example of those before you? They were afflicted with severe poverty and ailments, and they were truly shaken until even the messenger who was with them and those with him, until even the messenger and those with him said, when will the help of Allah come? When is the help of Allah coming? Allah responds by saying, Ala inna nasrullahi qareeb. Indeed, certainly the help of Allah is close by. This talk will be delivered, inshallah, in three parts. The first part, we'll talk about al-qadr, our belief as Muslims in predestination. The second part, or rather continuing from the first part, the point of emphasis is that nothing happens in the universe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His kawn. Nothing happens except by the will, wisdom and knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second part will deal with some lessons that we can learn from history. Lessons from the history of Islam. And finally, the third part will emphasize and discuss that the future is indeed for Islam and the Muslims. Coming to the first part, that nothing happens in this universe, in the cone of Allah, except by the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We find, unfortunately, today, many Muslims, they say, or they have in their hearts, doubt. And they have sort of dhan, or they have bad thoughts about their Creator, subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're full of doubt regarding the fact that everything that has happened, everything that will happen, and that nothing will happen except that it has been preordained and predestined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some say, does not Allah hear the crying of the orphans in Afghanistan? I have heard with my own ears people saying, doesn't Allah know what is happening in Palestine, in Kashmir? Doesn't Allah see the bloodshed of our Muslim brothers dying, of our mothers and our sisters being raped in various parts of the world? Doesn't Allah see this? Doesn't He hear the cry of the orphan whose father has been killed, whose uncles and grandfathers have been killed, slaughtered in front of him? Doesn't Allah hear the cry of these orphans? They say, where is the izzah? Where is the honor that belongs to Allah, to His deen, to the Muslims? Where is the victory that Allah has promised us? Where is the help of Allah? Why are Muslims so humiliated? Why are Muslims in a state of humiliation? Isn't the victory and the honor, the help for the believers, hasn't this been promised by Allah? Hasn't He promised us establishment in the earth? So they ask the scholars, the da'is, and the students of knowledge, where is this victory? Where is this honor? The kuffar, they say, are those who seem to have honor, who seem to have the upper hand, who seem to be victorious. The answer, my brothers and sisters, is that certainly these events happen. And certainly, along with these events, we must realize that nothing happens in this universe except by the qadr of Allah. By the knowledge of Allah. By the will of Allah. And by the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are not more merciful to the oppressed than Allah. We do not have more mercy than Allah. Allah does not turn a blind eye to the situation of the Muslims today. Allah is not deaf. He's hearing the cries of the Muslims around the world. And we cannot claim that we see better, or we hear better, or even that we are more merciful because we feel more pity than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. If the brothers can move forward and to that side of the hall as well, because there's quite a lot of space so people outside can come in. To have iman, faith, in qadr, predestination, the good and the bad thereof, is something which is a pillar from amongst the pillars of iman. Your iman is not sahih, it's not correct, and it's not accepted from you until you have iman and full yaqeen, full faith and certainty in this fact that nothing happens in the universe except by the will, knowledge and wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّا كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقْنَاهُ بِقَدْرٍ. Indeed, we created everything with a qadr, with predestination. And Imam Muslim narrates in his authentic collection, Sahih Muslim. And this is the first hadith he collected. He said that some of the Sahaba, that they were confronted by people who were discussing al-qadr, predestination. And some began to deny predestination. They began to say, Allah does not know about a thing until it happens. And other such deviations in the matter of al-qadr. So then they said, Abdullah ibn Umar, or rather these two companions, they said, if you meet one of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we can ask him about al-qadr. So Abdullah ibn Umar happened to meet these people. So they asked him, O Abdullah ibn Umar, O son of the Khalifa Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, there are some people who deny or have a deviated belief in that of al-qadr. What do you do? What do you have to say about this? He replied, if you meet them, inform them that Abdullah ibn Umar is free from them, that I am free from them, and they are free from me. And wallahi, by the one who created Abdullah ibn Umar, if any of them spent in the way of Allah gold equivalent to the size of Mount Uhud, it will not be accepted from them until they believe in al-qadr, until he affirms faith in qadr. And then he continued, he said, my father, Umar ibn al-Khattab, he said to me, he said, بَيْنَنَا نَحْنُ جُلُوسٌ عِنْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. And as the hadith continues, when we were sitting amongst the Messenger of Allah, a man came to us who was dressed in white. His clothes were severely white, and his hair was severely black. And he came and there was no sign of traveling on him. And the hadith continues, until this man, he asks the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أخبرني عن الإيمان. Tell me, what is Iman? He said, Al-Iman. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, Iman. Al-Iman أن تؤمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الآخر وتؤمن بالقدر خيره وشره. That Iman is that you believe in Allah, in the angels, in the messengers, in the books, in the last day, and that you believe in al-qadr, predestination, the good and the bad thereof. Qal sadaqt. This man, he said, you have spoken the truth. Umar said, it was strange to us that he asked the question to the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then he responds by saying, you have spoken the truth. And the hadith continues until at the end, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Atadri, Ya Umar, Atadri man is sa'il? O Umar, do you know who this questioner was? Qala Allah wa rasuluhu a'lam. Allah and His Messenger know best. Qal, Thalika Jibreel, Atakum yu'allimukum deenakum. That was Jibreel. He came to teach you your religion, your deen. So part of this deen, part of this religion, this way of life, and indeed Iman, is that we believe and have firm faith in Al-Qadr, the good and the bad thereof. So everything in this universe has a wisdom. It has a wisdom, and it has been put in its place to the dot by the wisdom of Allah. And Allah has hikmah, wisdom, and He knows the wisdom for everything. Allah says in the Quran, وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّاهُ. And indeed, He has the keys of the unseen. None knows them. None else has these keys except Allah. No leaf falls except by the will of Allah, by His qadr and by His knowledge. Nothing surrounds the will, the knowledge and the wisdom of Allah. And nothing stops Allah seeing or hearing. How is it that we can affirm when we see decisions that people make, or statements, or actions that people perform? When we see this, we can affirm knowledge to an individual, or wisdom to this individual. How can we affirm knowledge and wisdom to the creation of Allah, but we forget, subconsciously, forget the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So the occurrences that happen, that we see, only happen by the knowledge of Allah. Only happen by His wisdom and by the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is obligatory for our hearts to accept this without a shadow of a doubt. Without a shadow of a doubt. As Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ عَفْوًا إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِهِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا. That indeed, the believers are only those who believe in Allah and His Messenger, and then they do not have doubt. They do not harbor doubt. And finally, we should not despair in the mercy of Allah, as this is only a characteristic of the kuffar and of the hypocrites. As Allah says in Surah Yusuf, verse 87, indeed, none despairs of Allah's mercy except those who disbelieve. Do not think that these events that we see around the world today are totally evil and bad. And this brings us to the second part of this talk, lessons from history of Islam. The first lesson that I'd like to look at comes from a famous battle that occurred at the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the battle of Khandaq, or the battle of Al-Ahzab as it is known. And this occurred in the 5th year after Hijrah, and some scholars say 4th year after Hijrah. Of course, the Muslims were in Medina, and they had expelled the tribe of Banu Nadir, which was a tribe of the Jews. They'd expelled them from Medina. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had expelled them from Medina into Khaybar. And the leaders of this tribe, Banu Nadir, they were Mecca, and they wanted to persuade the Quraysh, the Mushrikun. They said, Ya Quraysh, wage war against Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They incited them to wage war against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then they said, we will aid you and we will help you and we will support you. The Quraysh agreed. Perfect opportunity for them. We want to eliminate this new religion, this fast growing religion. And now we have the help of Jews. Let us do this. Then this same tribe of Jews from Banu Nadir, they went to the Ghatafan tribe, another tribe of the Mushrikun. And they said to them, they incited them, Ya Al Ghatafan, O people of Ghatafan, O tribe, wage war against Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Quraysh too have agreed. We have a pact. We have an alliance. We have an alliance. Join us. Let us wage war against the Muslims. And they too agreed. In total, the Jews managed to pull together an army of 10,000 people. For that time, this is a huge army, brothers and sisters. A huge army. We're talking about tribes of people where an army would be around 700 or 800 people. We have an army of 10,000 people marching towards Medina. News reached the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Ahzab, the Confederates, were marching towards Medina. You're either with us or against us. They had pulled together all the various tribes. Not just the Quraysh and the Ghatafan and the Banu Nadir, but they were inciting other smaller tribes and their alliances. And they came towards Medina, marching. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he took shura. He took advice. This was a great thing. And Salman al-Farisi, the Persian, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he had an idea. He said, Ya Rasulullah, when we were in Persia, they would dig a trench around the city when people would attack that city. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accepted, and he ordered the Muslims under the command of Salman al-Farisi to dig this trench around the east of Medina, which was the entrance to Medina. The Muslims, it's reported that there were only 700 in number. I want you to try to picture this, okay? You have armies of 10,000 people. I'm really emphasizing this. This is huge. Of different tribes. They don't even share the same belief. You have the mushrikun worshipping idols. And you have the Christians and the Jews on the other hand. In particular the Jews. They're all together against the Muslims. 10,000 versus 700. Although some narrations say 3,000. Again, can the brothers move forward? I'm getting signals from the back that space is running out. And there's quite a lot of space towards the side there and a little bit over there. So 10,000 Jews and mushrikeen and others against 700 Muslims. They came and to their surprise, they found the trench between them and the Muslims. And of course there was no water inside the trench. So if they were to enter the trench, they'd be... I was going to say shot, but... they'd be killed. So they had no way of getting across. Another point to know is that the Muslims had left their families in the stronghold, their women and children in the stronghold of Medina, which was behind them, below them. And behind that further was another tribe called Banu Qurayza, another tribe of the Jews. And the Muslims had a pact with this tribe, a treaty with this tribe of Banu Qurayza. And the treaty went that the Banu Qurayza tribe would defend the Muslims. And they would protect this side, the behind. of Medina. And these people had another 800 fighters. So the Muslims had left that open for these Jews to actually to defend. And so now their families are in between. Huray ibn Akhtab from the Banu Nadir, the same tribe that incited the Quraysh and the Ghatafan. He went also to this tribe of Banu Qurayza behind the city of Medina. And he incited them also. He said, look, we have the Quraysh, we have the Ghatafan, we have all these other confederates. And we ourselves are going to help them. Join us. Be treacherous to your covenant with the Muslims. Be treacherous to your contract and attack them from behind. Join our side. And then we will have got the Muslims, you know, entrapped, surrounded. And the leader, Ka'b ibn Asad, initially he refused. He said, woe be to you. By Allah. He says, woe be to you. And then Huyay replied again. He said, woe be to you. This is the opportunity for glory. The Quraysh, the Ghatafan and their followers have come to you. And they will remain until they eliminate Muhammad and his companions. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, this is an opportunity for glory. For victory. There's no way we can lose. Ibn Asad said, no. Woe be to you. This is an opportunity for humiliation. This is a Jew now. But Huyay kept pressurizing him and inciting him and promising him, as they do today, we'll release your debts and whatever else. And anyway, he kept promising these Jews, look, and I mean, this is another parable that I'd like to bring. At that time, it was the Jews that they had to incite to go against the Muslims. What is it today? They're inciting the Muslims to go against Muslims. Anyway, he kept inciting and so on and so forth. Until Ibn Asad, Ka'b ibn Asad, he gave up and he agreed to switch sides. Allah describes now. It was at this point that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent someone to go down and see the situation over there. And he found out, and the Messenger came back. The Messenger of Allah came back and said that these people, they have switched sides. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now imagine this. Your families are back there. You're on the battlefront over here. Then behind your families, there is another group who are now going to attack your families. Allah describes the situation of the Muslims. إِذْ جَاءُوكُمْ مِنْ فَوْقِكُمْ وَمِنْ أَسْفَلِ مِنْكُمْ. When the confederates, they came from above you, from in front of you, and from below you or behind you. In front of you, of course, the confederates of the mushrikun. Behind them, of course, the Banu Qurayza. The Muslims were surrounded. Allah says, وَإِذْ رَاغَتِ الْأَبْصَارُ وَبَلَغَتِ الْقُلُوبُ الْحَنَاجِرُ. And when the eyes went wild. Can you imagine? Imagine this. Allah is describing the state of some of the Muslims. The eyes went wild and the hearts reached the throat. Can you imagine this? They had intense fear, intense terror. Except the really firm ones amongst them. وَتَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ ظُنُونَ وَتَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ ظُنُونَ. And then you began to harbor doubts upon Allah. Doubts. Is Allah going to help us? This is of course talking about the hypocrites now. And they were very weak amongst the Muslims. They began to doubt. When is the victory of Allah coming? Doesn't Allah hear the cry of our Muslims, of our families behind us that are about to get attacked? The doubts began to enter the hearts of some of the Muslims. So they began to doubt some of the hypocrites. And they asked permission from Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let us go back. Let us go back to protect our families. And when Allah says about the hypocrites, when the hypocrites and those in whose hearts is a disease, they began to say, Allah has promised us, Allah's Messenger has promised us nothing but delusion. And then some of them began to say, let's go back into Yathrib or Medina. Let's go back. And, you know, basically they're trying to get out of this battle. But at this state, the important point is that even the true Muslims, many of them had, they were scared. And they were terrified. And it was just at that point where they felt that, subhanallah, victory is near. Victory is near for the kuffar. At that point, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent an intensely cold wind with strong gusts against the Confederates. And they were already split up. They were already split up. You know, even today you see these Confederates saying, you know, the alliance is breaking, it's very weak and so on and so forth. Similar situation back there. The alliance was beginning to weaken. And now a push came to shove now. The strong winds came and they were left with no tents and no food and they couldn't light any fires and so on and so forth. They began to get really cold and they had nowhere to shelter. So each tribe secretly, Allah describes them, each tribe secretly called each tribe leader called his own tribe. And he said, oh people of my own tribe, let us go back, let's save ourselves. And what happened was this alliance totally fell apart. And Allah cast fear and terror in their hearts. And they left defeated and disappointed. I don't think I need to comment about this story. Lesson number two from history. The Battle of Uhud. And I'm going to make it brief, inshallah. The Battle of Uhud, all of us know the story. Some Muslims, there was about 1,000 Muslims fighting in this battle. And 40 or so were commanded by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to remain on the mountain until they were told otherwise. Stay there. Don't move. Victory or defeat, do not move. But as we know, there were zero casualties and the Muslims were in the process of a huge victory. The mushrikun were running. Imagine this. The mushrikun were running from their places in their battlefield. And the Muslims were running after them. But then, some amongst the people who were stood on the mountain, they disobeyed Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They said, the booty, as Abdullah ibn Zubayr mentions. The booty. They ran after the booty. He said, wait, stop. Abdullah ibn Zubayr. He said, wait, stop. The messengers commanded us. He said, no. They said, no, we've won the war. So they disobeyed the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so they went down. There's an empty place, an easy door for the mushrikun to enter. And Khalid bin Walid, being a great commander, you know, he saw that there's a gap there. So he took his army from behind the mountain, came over and he attacked from behind. So now the Muslims are surrounded on this side by the mushrikun and on this side by the mushrikun of Khalid bin Walid's army. So now they suffered from zero casualties to 72 casualties. The lesson that I want to put across today is that this was 40 or so people disobeying the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah says in the Quran about them, Who did Allah blame? Who did Allah tell to rectify themselves? When the Muslims were really sad and they had, their hearts were full of, a sorrow. And they were upset. Allah says, قُلْ هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ أَنفُسِكُمْ. Say, this is from your own selves. You have brought this, you, plural, you as a nation, has brought this upon yourself. Allah did not say this was the fault of Khalid bin Walid. Allah did not say this was the fault of the mushrikun. Allah did not talk about the great military strategies of Khalid bin Walid. He said, say, this is of your own doing. This is from your own selves, this defeat. Four percent of the Muslims disobeyed the Messenger of Allah, alayhi wasallam, and you get defeat. O Muslims, 99.9% recurring today are disobeying Allah and His Messenger, and we're expecting victory. Lesson number three from history is the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. The Treaty of Hudaybiyah. All these are trials and tribulations that we're talking about. And again, to be brief, in the treaty, it seemed apparently that the mushrikun had the upper hand. That the Muslims had nothing, had gained nothing from this treaty. This is what it seemed. To the extent that Umar radiallahu anhu got angry. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu got angry. And they couldn't understand. The Sahaba could not understand. Why did the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why did he sign this humiliating treaty? Humiliating! We can't go for Umrah this year or Hajj. And so on. We have to give up certain Muslims to the kuffar. Why did the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sign this treaty? They could not understand. But then, when they returned, Allah revealed from above the seven heavens, إِنَّا فَتَحْنَا لَكَ فَتْحًا مُبِينًا. Indeed, we have opened for you a great opening. A clear opening. A victory. Allah said this from above the seven heavens. And you know what the response was, my brothers? You know what the response was? They responded. Umar ibn al-Khattab, the same person that got angry, got on his horse. He got on his riding beast and went around Medina shouting this ayah, إِنَّا فَتَحْنَا لَكَ فَتْحًا مُبِينًا. إِنَّا فَتَحْنَا لَكَ فَتْحًا مُبِينًا. Indeed, we have been opened. Allah has opened for us a great opening. He couldn't understand why. He couldn't understand how. But he realized because Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam had said, this is a fath mubeen. This is a great clear opening and a victory. It is indeed a great clear victory and opening. Lessons to be learned from history. The fourth and final event that I'd like to mention is the hijrah of the Sahaba from Mecca to Medina. They travelled, before that they were tortured, for no other reason but because they said, La ilaha illallah. They weren't tortured because they were part of a certain tribe, or because they had, you know, whatever. They were tortured because they said, La ilaha illallah. So they made hijrah from Mecca to Medina. And we know even today how long it takes from Mecca to Medina. Even in a taxi, you're looking at 3, 4, 5, 6 hours even. And I remember when I went, it took us 14 hours in the coach because of the traffic, and it was crazy and the waiting. 14 hours. In a coach. That was almost unbearable. How about today? Or how about year zero after Hijrah? Walking in sandals from Mecca to Medina. But they went through trials and tribulations. They had to go through these trials and tribulations. It was part of the victory. It was part of their reward. This is why Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Khayrun nas qarni." The best of mankind is my generation. Is my generation. When I was a child, I used to think, I wish I was of the Sahaba. Because, you know, they got paradise. But the more you realize and read and learn about their... Now I say, thank God I'm not a Sahabi, because subhanAllah, if I was doing the same thing that I was doing then, I would have been a hypocrite. Because they were tried. They were forced to go through tribulation. They were tested like no one's been tested. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I have been tested the most. In another narration, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the people who are tested the most are the prophets and messengers, and then the ones most like them, and then the ones most like them. They were tested. They were tried for their deen. So they made this hijrah. And when they got to Medina, what did they find? They found people, oh brothers and sisters, learn from this. They found the Ansar. They found the Muhajirun. Found the Ansar. Allah named them this from above the seven heavens. The emigrators, those who migrated, found their helpers, the Ansar. This is a great thing to think about. They went there and found Sahaba, whom they had never met in their entire life, saying to them, take half of my house. Take one of my riding beasts out of the two that I have. Take half of my wealth. And even you found one Sahabi saying, take one of the two wives, anyone that you wish, take one of my two wives. This was the characteristic of the Ansar. This was their characteristic. I want to ask, where is our Ansar-ness? Where is our characteristics of being helpers? If we cannot aid in a physical way, can we not aid with our money, with our tongues, by spreading the true message? But with our money, with our money. But no. Instead we're sitting here paying 30% tax to the kuffar to go and kill our brothers. This is a reality, is it not? Is this not a reality? So there are great lessons to be learnt from history of the Muslims. We cannot expect our brothers and sisters going, you know, across the world to go through these trials and tribulations and afflictions except with our aid. You know what? They are going through a trial and tribulation. But you know what? There is a greater trial that we are going through over here. We are being tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over here. We're going to be asked, Yawm al-Qiyamah, over here, what did you do? What did you as an individual do? What did you, as a person earning 15, 20, 30, 40K in Britain do? You're going to be asked. We all are not going to be free from this blame. Yawm al-Qiyamah. What did you do? Oh Muslims, do you have a response to this? There is a narration which is da'if, it is weak in meaning, in the wording, but its meaning is correct, in which it is stated, Laysa minna, it is not, he is not from us, the one who does not have hum. Who does not have hum about the rest of the ummah. Who does not have concern for the rest of the ummah. He's not from amongst us. Even though this wording is weak, there are many other narrations or wordings even the same meaning. That we just simply are not part of the ummah if we do not have concern for the ummah. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that this ummah is like a body. If one part of the body gets hurt, the whole body feels pain, and it aids in the recovery of that part of the body. O Muslim, O Abdullah, O Abdullah, O Amatullah, what have you done? What are you doing to help your Muslim brothers and sisters across the world that need your support and help? Ask yourself this, because believe me, you will be asked. If you don't ask yourself today, you will certainly be asked Yawm al-Qiyamah. It's a responsibility upon you. Having said all that, we should not lose hope. Victory is indeed near. The help of Allah is indeed near. The help of Allah is indeed near. And victory will come to the Muslims. Wallahi, billahi, tallahi. I swear by Allah, victory is coming to the Muslims. But the real question is not when is victory coming. The real question is, are we going to be part of that victory? Are we? Abu Abdus Salam, Abu Ali, Abdul Rahim Green, Abu Amina Bilal Phillips, and Abdullahs, and your Arifs, and your, you know, Shafiqs, and are we going to be part of this victory? Are we going to be part of this victory? Allah says in the Quran in Surah Al-Fath, He said, هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله وكفى بالله شهيدا. And this brings me on to the third part of my talk, and that is the future is definitely for Islam and for the Muslims. There is no doubt. Have no doubt in your minds that the future is indeed for Islam. Allah says, He is the one who sent His messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with huda, with guidance, and the deenul haqq, and the true way of life, the true deen. لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ To make it prevail and be victorious over all other deens, all other religions. And Allah is sufficient as a witness. In another ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ He is the one, Allah is the one, who sent His messenger with the guidance and the true religion to make it prevail and be victorious over all other religions, even though the mushrikun detest it and they hate it. Even though they hate it. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ زَوَى لِيَ الْأَرْضَ Indeed, Allah gathered together for me the earth so that I could see it. فَرَأَيْتُ مَشَارِقَهَا وَمَغَارِبَهَا So I saw the east of it and the west of it, of the earth. وَإِنَّ أُمَّتِي سَيَبْلُغُ مُلْكُهُ مَا زُوِيَ لِي مِنْهَا And indeed, the dominion of my ummah will reach wherever, whatever was shown to me. وأعطيت الكنزين الأحمر والأبيض. And I was given the treasures of the red treasures and the white. The treasures of the red and the white. Meaning the Persian Roman empires. The point of proof here is Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that it was gathered for him, the east and the west of the earth. The whole earth was gathered for him. And he was able to see it all. And this Ummah's dominion will reach the east and the west. Likewise, Allah says, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لَيَبْلُغَنَّ هَذَا الْأَمْرُ مَا بَلَغَ اللَّيْلُ وَالنَّهَارُ وَلَا يَتْرُكُ اللَّهُ بَيْتَ مَدْرٍ وَلَا بَرٍ إِلَّا أَدْخَلَهُ اللَّهُ هَذَا الدِّينَ بِعِزِّ عَزِيزٍ أَوْ بِذِلِّ ذَلِيلٍ عِزًّا يُعِزُّ اللَّهُ بِهِ الْإِسْلَامِ وَذُلًّا يُذِلُّ اللَّهُ بِهِ الْكُفْرِ. That this affair will certainly reach what is reached by the night and the day. Wherever you see night and day, that is where Islam will reach. And Allah will not leave a dwelling of earth nor pelt, except that He will enter into it, this religion. Think about this. He will honor the honorable and humiliate the lowly. Honor which Allah gives to Islam and humiliation which Allah gives to disbelief. There are many such narrations that prove that victory is indeed for Islam. That we should not lose hope. And once again, to finish off, conclude and summarize, we have three parts of this talk. Firstly, that nothing happens in this cone, in this universe of Allah, except by the wisdom of Allah, by His knowledge, and by His qadr, predestination. We have to have no doubt in this. The second part, there are lessons to be learnt from the history. Lessons of the Hijrah, about how Muslims should be helping each other. Lessons from the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, that even though you think something could be evil, later on you can realize that that is something which is a great honor and great opening for Islam. But you may not know, but Allah knows. Lessons from the Battle of Uhud, that when you disobey Allah, even 4% of Muslims, they disobey Allah, the whole Ummah will suffer and be humiliated. Lessons from the Battle of Khandaq, that even though the tide may be against you at this moment, it is very easy for the tide to turn. It is very easy for the tide to go the other way. And the third part of this talk is that the future is definitely for Islam. I close by handing over to our brother Abu Yusuf, who's been chairing, in which we have an appeal today, where you and I can help out our brothers and sisters in Afghanistan. And we will be going through Islamic Relief, an organization recognized, walillah alhamd, for its good works in Afghanistan. And we will be asking every single person in this room who is earning to be able to donate something or pledge something to the people of Afghanistan. Wallahi, you will be asked. Wallahi, you will be asked. Wallahi, you will be asked. Wassallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa lisair al-muslimin. Astaghfirullah innahu huwal ghafurur rahim. Wa jazakumullahu khayran.